Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. It is so easy to wrap ourselves in hope, to have faith when we're at the top of our game. When the kids are born and we're celebrating, when families around us, it's easy to have faith. It's easy to have faith when we've gotten the job that we've wanted. When we're living large, it's so easy to have faith when we're at the top of our game. Just like John the Baptist last week. You remember the story last week? John the Baptist was at the top of his game. He didn't have to put ads in the Jerusalem Gazette to get people to come to hear him. He didn't have to go begging in the synagogues and say, I have something to say. He could run around in the wilderness and everybody came to him. He was a very popular preacher. And he was at the top of his game. And he knew that the Spirit of Almighty God was on him. And so he could prophesy about the Messiah. And when he saw Jesus, he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was the man. And he said, that one's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He was at the top of his game. And you know, sometimes when we're at the top of our game, we think we're invincible. And this man went up to Herod. Now, Herod admired John. Didn't quite understand him all the time, but he did admire him. And so John, with prophetic zeal, told Herod that he was living poorly, that he was sinning, and that he had to stop it. And Herod said, okay, of course not. He threw the man in the dungeon because despots can do that. So he threw this man in the dungeon, this man who had spent his life outdoors, who had the freedom to sleep under the stars. And all of a sudden, he's locked up in a dungeon. Now he hears about Jesus, but I can imagine that he's disappointed. Because after all, Jesus received this mantle of Messiah. Wouldn't you think that the first thing he would have done is grab a group and go out and protest at Herod's palace and tell them that they had to release this godly man? Wouldn't you think that Jesus would have held the mantle of John the Baptist and gone up to the seats of power and spoken truth to them? But what he hears is very different. That Jesus is speaking to the poor, that Jesus is gathering around him people of no account. And that most times when Jesus healed, he told people, don't tell anybody. John would have broadcast it. And so John, languishing in prison, sends his disciples to Jesus and asks that poignant question, are you really the one? Or should we look for somebody else? And I think what he wanted to say, should we look for somebody better? Now, some commentators don't like that interpretation, and they get very troubled because it sounds like John the Baptist lost his faith. So they said, he really hadn't lost his faith. He sent his disciples so they would know. Now, I don't believe that. I think that John was as human as the rest of us. And when you're at the top of your game, you know about faith. But when the chronic illnesses come, when the economics are shaky, when things happen that take us off our game, it's easy to lose faith. And it's easy to ask the question, is it all real? And so when these disciples went to Jesus, and ask the question. He didn't reprove John. He didn't say, you know, you ought to have more faith. What he said was, why don't you tell John what you're seeing? You're seeing the blind's eyes opened. You're seeing that the deaf hear again. And you know that the poor are being preached to and being given good news. And so when we're off our game, when life knocks us down, what do? We start to look for signs that God is at work. I love the poem from Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She said, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." Earth's crammed with heaven. And we see the miracles of God around us if we have eyes to see. It might not be happening for us right now. There might be times when we are in terrible shape and we ask for miracles and they do not come. But rather than look inward and say, why not me? Why hasn't God come to me? Let us look around and see the miracles of God that God is performing each and every day. And let us plant hope in our own hearts. We think of hope as something that we hold. But if we hold on to something, that means we have it. We don't have to hope for it. Hope is the thing that's just beyond our grasp. We can see it, but we don't have it yet. That's like the prophet Isaiah when he talks about streams in the desert and he talks about a peaceable kingdom and he was living at a time of great violence and great fear. He saw it. He couldn't grasp it right then, but he saw it. And that is the hope that we have this Advent season. And we hold on to that hope, especially when we're not at our best. My prayer for us this Advent season is that we hold on to hope. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that every common bush is afire with God. If only we had eyes to see. Lord, help us this week to see the holy ground, to rejoice with those who have experienced your grace, and to wait in patient hope. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.